Hello, 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 hello everyone. Troy Reeves here, the host with the platform most. Just letting you guys know, this is part two of a two-part episode of the Super Mario 35th anniversary special here. If you haven't listened to part one, I would probably recommend doing so first before going into this episode. We'll be picking up where we last left off, talking to Super Mario Sunshine, going to Super Mario Galaxy, and then finishing off with the new Super Mario Brothers series, the 3D Land and World, and Odyssey here. So again, I do recommend listening to part one before going to part two here, but if you are ready for part two, I do thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the episode.
Yeah, but let's kind of continue on with the 3D games a bit and talk about the kind of like the Super Mario Brothers 2 equivalent of the 3D game, Super Mario Sunshine, which I don't know you guys' personal history with this, but I have such a unique history with this game.
Yeah, this game has a special memory for me.
I think it gets... I'm one of those people... I think it's a... Okay, hot take. I think it's the better game than 64, because I do think it does a lot of things better than 64 does. But there is
that's
some...
You're wrong.
I mean, I can understand that, because I do think there is some things that it falls... completely short on that honestly, but that's the thing. I actually really like how Mario controls in Sunshine.
Yeah, he has a better moveset, but that's, of course, it's a newer game. You know, if you play Odyssey, you're just like, holy shit, there's a huge range of motion.
Well, that's what's weird to me. Like, Sunshine almost, because I played Odyssey before the 3D All-Star Collection, and dude, Sunshine completes, like, almost it's like a beta version of Odyssey. To me, like how, like some of the stuff you get to do in that, like in that move set, that I even completely forgot, like the range of movement that you have in it. But
being a beta version of Odyssey, but I still, you know, to say that it's better than 64 is, I think, to kind of neglect, like, you know, it was kind of just, it was easy to do, at least, you know, improve on something compared to 64, but 64 did it first, you know?
Yeah, I mean. The reason why I like it more than 64 in some aspects, I will say this, it's a fun it's a better game to beat, but 64 is the better game to complete.
It's a shorter game to beat.
Yeah, I mean, there is some small nitpicks I'll kind of bring into it, but the reason why I really love Sunshine is the atmosphere of this game is so fucking well done. Like, oh my
God. I love the island.
I love Al Delfino, and I would love for them to revisit it, because I know a lot of people kind of had their issue with the fact that each level was basically a beach level. However, they were such a unique twist to it. Like, Blanco Hills was kind of like your basic water village level. Rico Harbor's like a working class, like, construction playground that you got to mess around with. And that's
a bit more industrial.
Yeah,
definitely.
And, like, even, like, the hotel was basically level. It was a boo house. And I think it was very well implemented. And, I don't know, like, the atmosphere of that game is so well done. Like, that soundtrack, oh, like, if Galaxy wasn't around, I think Sunshine might be my favorite 3D Mario soundtrack. Like, it is...
Soundtrack was fucking amazing. Now, that is something that it absolutely does outclass 64 on, is soundtrack comparison is just not even, like, available.
I mean, I think that's also because, like, yeah, 64, I mean, the N64 cartridge could only hold so much. And as much as I do have a nostalgia for the 64 soundtrack, they do reuse a lot of those songs to the point that you get kind of annoyed with them a bit. But Sunshine, like, each level has such a great song. I mean, also, even Al Delfino's or Delfino Plaza's, like, theme song of, like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. To the fact that we made it a TikTok. It's now a TikTok sound that the kids are using these days.
I mean, there's plenty of Nintendo music that's used in, like, TikTok, YouTube, Yik Yak, whatever the fuck.
I mean, that's true. But I feel like Al Delfino is kind of, like, one of the more popular ones a lot of people use.
Classic.
And rightfully so, because it fucking slaps.
It's a great track.
I mean,
a big part of why the atmosphere is so infectious in Sunshine, I think.
Yeah. But I think Sunshine is so interesting, especially now knowing more about the development, because Sunshine is really the first Mario game that Miyamoto wasn't in the director's chair. His last directing game was 64. The Sunshine was directed by the first time in his director debut. He's been with the franchise for a while, but this is his first time in the director's chair. Yoshiya Koizumi, it's like K-O-I-Z-U-M-I, who will eventually go on to direct. I don't know if he directs Super Mario Galaxy. Let me see. No, he does. Yeah, he actually, oh wow, he plays a big part in Galaxy. But he also is a producer and director on Odyssey. So he basically, this is when he, as much as like 64 is with the 3D, I feel like he is a bigger hand in the franchise, kind of like with the Zelda franchise when I keep on forgetting his name when he takes over the franchise in Ocarina of Time. But he kind of becomes the forefront of where Mario eventually goes 3D. And I think Sunshine, you really kind of start seeing a lot of implements that they do take down in other games, like in Galaxy and even like 3D Land and World and things of that nature here. And especially in Odyssey with like how like Mario controls and stuff in that nature.
Let's talk about a serious issue.
What?
The bird level, the lily pad, all the category.
That's what
you think with the it's not a remake, but the 3D All-Stars, you think they would have toned it down or just patched it in some sort of way, but no, it's still nightmarish.
No, it's still shit.
Yeah.
What's up?
I was like, nope, do it again. Like, that's Nintendo.
No, it's so bad. Oh, man, I just played Corona Mountain. I finally beat Mario Sunshine last night, and oh, my God. It's like, you could kind of tell, at this point, it's very well known that game has been rushed, especially because I feel like they were trying to go with something a little bit bigger, but they obviously couldn't because the GameCube was failing and they needed a Mario game to save the system type shit.
But I think the point you made earlier about, you know, it being, you know, it being a new designer, you know, that being his first Mario game.
Or at least first Mario game as a director.
Exactly. So, like, you know, I mean, not that, you know, he literally did everything. He obviously didn't. But, you know, his ability to refine the product into something that was, like, you know, on the level of 64, let's say, like, that was, you know, he was already fighting an uphill battle in that respect. So that does, you know, add to my respect for Mario Sunshine.
I'm
just saying, with the re-release, you think they would have touched up on it some way?
I mean, it looks...
The re-release, that's a whole other topic.
I
get what you're talking about.
I do agree. I will say this. It's really nice to have that game at 1080p and widescreen, because that game still looks good to this day. Like, holy...
So true.
It's still a great-looking game.
It has better water physics than fucking Skyrim.
The sad part is, I actually think you're right, because, man, the water physics in that game is so damn good.
Yeah. I mean, with Flood and everything. I mean, it's interesting, because that's something I've also thought about Smash Brothers. It's something I've also thought about, I don't know, there's a lot of GameCube games that the graphics hold up surprisingly well.
Well, because I feel like with Nintendo, as much as like they do kind of like sacrifice power, they really go all in on art design. And I think that's why a lot of their games have hold up well, is because the art really is almost timeless to a certain degree.
I thought of the other one, Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's favorite.
Oh, man, I do love the Luigi's Mansion games. It is that spooky time of the year.
That was one of the first games I got for the GameCube.
I mean, it was a launch game for the GameCube. People thought that was going to be the 64 because, you know, it launched with a Luigi game instead of a Mario game, but... Who knew?
Tragedy. It was only like 6 hours long. It's so quick.
But you wanted to replay it all the time because it's almost like an arcade game.
I have a great story. All right. So you know how when you beat the game, it reads up your score and then it shows you a little picture of a house or a small mansion or whatever. Yes. And the more you play it, the higher your score gets, the bigger the mansion looks. I played the game over like four times over. I was about to get to whatever the final picture was. And my fucking save file corrupted.
Boo!
that's brutal.
Dude, yeah. The GameCube memory card was pretty notorious for that shit, because that has happened to me many of times with that motherfucker.
Yeah, did it happen to my Animal Crossing save?
Oh, man, that has to suck.
Yeah, that's tragic.
I just turned on my Switchfoot mix and stared at the window.
So, but
like, as if 9/11 happened all over again.
But
I'm ready, sir.
We are starting kind of like, we're not like over time, but I definitely do want to push through a little bit on Sunshine, because I definitely do want to talk about at least just two more games after this. But the reason why I love Sunshine so much and replaying it, and I do think it gets so much shit on. So we talk about the boost out mechanic, and I understand that's annoying to a lot of gamers. It's not as annoying to me, but I understand why it is. In Sunshine, it almost kind of justifies it, because each episode or each sign sprite changes the level enough that it almost becomes a completely new level. And an objective, at least. And that's why I feel like it improves on 64 in that aspect, to the point that it kind of justifies the boost out mechanic, because it, like, each level is actually different. That they actually do take in Galaxy. Like, they do still take that with the Galaxy games. But, like, it made the world more fascinating to me and made it more interesting, why I felt more immersed in this world, because, like, you see each level, like, the first level, you kind of see it in trouble, but then by the eighth sign sprite that you get, you kind of celebrate bringing it back to where it's normal state from its problems. And I think that was a very cool element that they implemented in that game that really got me immersed in it.
I mean, that's kind of the story of Sunshine. It was like an island that's in distress. You're the one to blame. Yeah, and you have to fix it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it is the game that taught me the all cops are bastards outside of Sonic Adventure 2, because Mario did not get a failed trial. Like, they just fucking threw that motherfucker in. Like, yeah, that's him. Like, they did not
community
get...
community service.
Yeah. Well, it's a well-known fact that the political situation on Delfino Island is a banana republic.
Oh, 100%. A military coup took over after centuries of mostly nomadic Oh, sorry. I don't want to give you guys a history lesson.
Let's not get into the Mario lore right now.
I feel like we've been saying that for the last five times. But I Sunshine, it gets so much hate. I don't think it justifies it. It does justify it with, yep, there are some bullshit moments. And we do bitch about the camera in 64, but the camera in Sunshine can be so infuriating, like, to the point that I almost think it's worse than 64, which it's kind of weird to say. But, again,
I think I know why it never got re-released for so long. I feel like maybe Nintendo was a little bit embarrassed of it. Maybe because it was cut short.
Well, the game was
really done.
Yeah, the game was rushed. Like, you could totally tell, like, some level, especially when you start playing the end game, or, like, the fact that, like, you find out that Shadow Mario, spoilers alert if you haven't played this game, but it only is, like, 10 shine sprite that you figured this out, is Bowser Jr. This is his introduction into the series, and how it opens the question that Peach did fuck Bowser at least once, to the point that she had to think about, did I give birth to this kid? He thinks Peach is his mama and all that shit. But after, like, that in the 10th shine sprite, that's pretty much it until you go to Corona Mountain, which in 64, I think you have to get 70 stars to get to the final level. In Sunshine, which I didn't like, You had to beat each of the levels 7th episode, because each of the level 7th episode was a Shadow Mario level, which would be cool if they were fun, but you literally just spray him, and it wasn't that engaging. And then, like, the final level and the final boss is so pathetic that you can clearly tell that they just rushed the fuck out of this game.
I do remember being really underwhelmed by the... It's been a while since I played Sunshine, but I do really... remember being underwhelmed by the end.
Yeah, like, and also, like, they hinted that Flood might have died. Like, it's so, like, a weird, like, they clearly was probably on to something here, but obviously when the game, like, okay, we need to ship this by this date, they just, like, all right, we gotta cut features or cut shit, and a lot of stuff would cut. And I mean, a lot of people hated this game for a while. Like, people thought, like, Sunshine was actually a bad game, And
I think it's a good game.
I'm about to say, that's why I kind of think it does get a lot of hate, because again, it people consider like think it's like an actual bad game, which I don't think so. Like, it's definitely the black sheep of the 3D Mario games, but I think it does do a lot of things very well, and it brings a lot of cool new ideas to the table with the 3D Mario that eventually other 3D Mario games do take. But obviously, it wasn't as refined as even like 64, which, believe it or not, 64 is the shortest developed time of all the 3D Mario games. And that felt a little bit more polished than Sunshine, which is still kind of weird to say, you know?
It's a big shame that they didn't add Island Delfino to Odyssey.
They hinted it too.
Around the world. Yeah, they did, but it was just a cock tease, and now I'm ashamed.
It's sad, but I mean, is there anything else you guys want to talk about Sunshine before we move on? Because I feel like I've been kind of talking about Sunshine a lot, because maybe because I recently just replayed it, but I do think it's a very great game that has some very major flaws that I just wish they would just fix, because if they just fix those flaws, honestly, I do think this game can hold up as well as 64 and Galaxy.
Should have had Peach in a bikini.
God damn it.
You should have shared that.
That's the only thing. Keep the bird level, lily pad level.
Let's see that. Let's see some skin on Peach. Oh my god.
Let me see some polygons. I'm just kidding. All right, let's move on. Enough joking.
Enough. But what about you guys? Do you have anything else to add on the Sunshine before we go on to Galaxy?
I mean, it's been a long time since I played it, but when I did play it, I remember enjoying it. It started off with a great, you know, a full head of steam, but then it just kind of petered out for me. And I didn't revisit it as a kid, and I played it later when I was like 16 or 17. And I enjoyed it, but I would like to play it again now and with just to get a current eye on it.
I recommend, if you do play it again, and anyone plays the game, I recommend beating it, but not completing it, because it's not worth it. It's not worth completing all 120 stars. Like, as much as I love the blue coins, and the blue coins are like some of my favorite aspects of the game, it's also some of my least favorite, because when you get to like the really hidden ones, and those are the only ones you have to find, it fucking becomes frustrating. And you can tell they just put them in just to pad out the game, and it just pisses me off. But
totally, yeah.
What, Natasha, you have any last words on Sunshine before we move on here?
I'm totally good.
That's fair. I recommend Sunshine. Wait, what was that, Dylan?
Yeah, I was like, it deserves to be in the dirt. Fuck where you. It belongs. No. I'm just fucking with you.
It's a good game. It's a great game that has some very small major issues that really hold it back from a all-time classic in my eyes. But it is a game that needed to happen for future Mario games to succeed as well, which I think is a good cutaway to the Galaxy games, which I don't know about y'all or anything, but Super Mario Galaxy 1 is my favorite game of all time. I don't know if you guys know that. I don't know if I ever told you that. I feel like it maybe got mentioned at some point, but
yeah, you may have mentioned
it. Yeah, I don't even know you anymore.
What?
But I really love this game. What are you guys' thoughts on Galaxy? I feel like I could go on for it, but I would like to hear y'all's thoughts on Galaxy here.
It definitely felt like just the next level of physics. Just the planetary gravity was just next level shit.
Yeah.
I mean,
I really did enjoy, I felt like I really enjoyed the sense of scale, since you were like moving through like all this vast space and stuff like that. That felt like really intense.
To me, why I think Galaxy works so well, it just, yeah, obviously, yes, the gravity effects and just like the fact that, I mean, you know, at a certain point, like even in 2007, Mario was already kind of like, you know, kind of seemed long on the tooth. And it's like, you know, that franchise where it's like, it's on its 10th entry and you're like, all right, let's go to space.
Yeah, that is a trope.
But like, oddly enough, Mario does it, but makes it potentially the best game in the entire franchise, in my opinion.
And they do it twice.
Yes. And it's the one rare Mario game on the system since the NES that actually got a direct sequel, which we'll do. Well, we'll talk about two a little bit here in a second, but I feel like the Galaxy games works so well because it combines what made 3D Mario work so well, but also what made 2D Mario work so well. And
very true.
I know some people have the issue with linear Mario, and this is kind of like the start of linear Mario, like where it really is an issue, like more of a forefront in 3D land and world. But in Galaxy, I feel like you still have that free motion, but I think the level design is so fascinating, and some of the crazy stuff that you get to do in some of these galaxies, it's literally the best of both worlds. And it's just so fun. It's so imaginative, so creative. And one of the only times really that they try to give more lore into the Mario games, because a fan favorite character came from it. Rosalina, which is a character. I know this might be a hot take, but I think Mario should just ditch Peach and just go to Rosalina. That's just me, though.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, she's hotter. And probably not as stuck up.
I mean,
she's a literal goddess.
I'm about to say she's a literal god.
Yeah, but she doesn't come from royalty.
She's a god. Like, she's straight up, like...
I'm just saying. Yeah. Like, she has more care for nature around her. I'm pretty sure Peach doesn't give a fuck about Toads.
You know...
No, despite this residence, she is rather down to earth. So, I feel like it's one of those things that, probably Mario doesn't want to break up with Peach because he's probably paying Bowser, and then he just watches. You know what I mean?
God, Mario's a cuck. Oh my god, I didn't mean to open that can of worms, but okay. Rosalina is such a cool character because I like how they implemented her. Because how she implemented, she had this mysterious aura to her. And you know, the library where you get to know her backstory, that was optional. You didn't need to go through that to beat the game, but you wanted to continue on because it was such a fascinating, it's not like an amazing story, but it does add enough to really engage you on this character. And actually by the end of it really makes her almost basically as close as you can get to a three dimensional character in a Mario game, like character wise. And
I agree.
I really love and Rosalina. And also, it's kind of weird, we talk about like Disney a little bit, but Galaxy does have a Disney-esque to it, like this sense of wonder and sense of joy. And like that, I mean, all Mario games do have it, but there's just something particular about Galaxy of just like going from galaxy to galaxy, helping each of the worlds and stuff in that nature, and just the sense of adventure that you have. And even some of the most engaging boss battles in the entire franchise. I'm not going to lie, the final Bowser battles are actually personally some of my favorite in the entire franchise. It's so well done. Like, it's kind of a spin on, like, the 64, but kind of brings, you know, the waggle a little bit to it. But it's such a joy of a game, and the level design is so well done, and... You can't talk about Galaxy without talking about that score. Like, oh my god.
That beautiful orchestra.
It might be my favorite soundtrack of all time. Like, I know that might be biased and stuff, but it's so fucking good. Like, oh my god. Like, I'm so glad they went all out with the orchestra band because it really... Huh?
Oh, sorry. Finish your thought.
I was just going to say, it really just brings... like Galaxy just a whole other step that you didn't know it needed to be at, but it just brought it there because the music was just so good.
You just didn't know you needed it until you heard it.
Basically,
in your ears.
Basically.
Ambrosia.
Oh my god. But what you were gonna bring up, Mario. Natasha?
Give me a moto. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that was another part of that sense of scale that, you know, made Galaxy so memorable was that, you know, in addition to being in this like vast cosmic space, you know, they made the score, you know, equally, you know, ambitious, like equally large in terms of its, you know, sound.
Yeah, ambitious is a good word just for to describe Galaxy. They really went all out.
No,
what was that? That was the second game by the new designer. What was his name?
Yeah, it was his third director game. His second directing game was a underrated gem that I will eventually talk about on the podcast at one point, Donkey Kong Jungle Beat, which is a very underrated game. That game is so good.
Is that the one you play with the Congos?
Yeah, the Bongo. That wasn't Donkey Kong. It's so good.
You know, that is a hot take, so I'm interested to hear your opinion on that at a later date.
Eventually, we will talk about it, but it's a It's like Yoshi, okay. But A.K.I. Quantazini. I cannot fucking pronounce this shit.
I'm trying to look it up.
Okay. Forgive us. We are not people of culture.
I know. Like, as much as I do love, I respect everything these people have done for gaming and shit, I cannot pronounce their names because I'm an uncultured son of a gun. But really, I feel like the ideas of Sunshine, like especially the levels without Flood, like where you like peer platforming, really comes into Galaxy and they just go fucking nuts with it.
Definitely.
It's like I just started replaying it for the first time in a while, and it was always a good looking game even when it came out in 2007. Like, obviously, it was on inferior hardware compared to the 360 and PS3. However, like, the art design is so well done. Like, honestly, to this day, I still think it might be the best-looking Mario game all around. I know Odyssey, it does improve a lot of stuff, but just, like, the level of detail of the art and everything, like,
I found him, Troy. His name is Yoshiaki Koizumi.
Yeah, there you go.
Yoshiaki Koizumi.
He actually was not only the director of Galaxy, but he was also the leader of game design directly. Yes. So he had even more of a direct hand in this game's creation.
Yeah, like, and he even did the story. He even did the story of it.
That's incredible.
What did he do?
Yeah, like, he basically, like, this was, like, I feel like Sunshine was, like, kind of, like, what he wanted to originally, like, kind of, like, gave, like, the start of what he wanted to do with the Mario franchise, and I think Galaxy was really what, like, he got to really go nuts with the world and stuff in that nature. And it's, because eventually he's now, like, one of the head honchos in Nintendo. Like, he played a big hand in the Nintendo Switch development, if that says anything there. But, like, this, like, it's one of the only games that, like, gave dimension to the Mario world. The levels are so well crafted and so well done, and such has a sense of joy and wonder that I really didn't think you really had until, like, since 64. And to me, 2007, it's such a banner year for games because you had Halo 3, you had Call of Duty 4, you had Rock Band, you had Mass Effect, you had BioShock, like, all these...
Jesus, my wallet's hurting just hearing that.
Yeah, like, all these all-time great games. And to me, Galaxy is the one that overshadows them. And it's not... And part of it may be because I do have a bias to Mario games. I do love Mario games, but there's... I'd rather go back to Galaxy than BioShock, if that says anything. Like, to me, Galaxy just hits a why I love video games. Like, if anyone comes up to me and is like, why do you love video games so much? I'll give them Super Mario Galaxy.
That's a bold statement.
I think it justifies it. And I know I'm not the only one who thinks this. Like, I've been seeing a lot. Like, one of the good things about the 3D All-Stars coming out, it's like, I've been on Twitter and stuff, and I've been seeing people talking about the Mario games, and people have been talking about, man, how Galaxy has truly not aged. And how it's still a well-made game and just such a joy to play. Like, even to the point that I saw a tweet from Adam Sessler gushing his love over it, and it just made me rive with joy because, one, I remember the G4 days, and I love myself some Adam Sessler, and the fact that he loves that game too is...
Olivia, mom, my first love.
I mean, fair. She's a beautiful woman. I understand that.
To be real, Morgan Webb was more my bitch.
Oh yeah, Morgan Webb was my first crush. Like, I love Morgan Webb. Like,
I have so much strong agreement for Morgan Webb.
I I definitely like, yeah, I think Morgan White was definitely like my, probably my first really big crush. Like, I was like, holy crap, like, a pretty girl likes games? Oh my god, she knows games. Oh my god. Like, of course, this teenage kid who doesn't know how to talk to girls, all he knows is like, I know my video games and cartoons and shit. I mean, nothing has changed on that
power end. Up wristbands.
But no, like, Galaxy to me, like, it's such a well-made game. And even like 2, like, I do think Galaxy is my personal favorite game, but Galaxy 2 is such a better game and all around, because it's basically, they just took what Galaxy did and just go even more ape shit with it, and especially adding Yoshi to the mix and some of the throwbacks that game has. Like, hell, there's literally a galaxy called Throwback Galaxy that is straight up just a recreation of Womp's Fortress from Super Mario 64.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That's a great level. And it's such, like, I feel like you that's why I'm so bummed with the 3D All-Stars, because I feel like you needed Galaxy 2 with Galaxy, because I feel like they're all in one package, because Galaxy 2 started development as Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Galaxy More.
I didn't need.
It was just going to be a DLC. It was just going to be downloadable content, but the game got so much bigger that they're like, we can just make it another game. And that's basically what it is. And
is that a different director?
I don't know if it has a different director here. Let me check. My
top level. Yeah,
it does have a different director.
Yeah. And Mario Galaxy 2.
But I mean, it's pretty much the same team, because he's still a producer in that game.
Yeah. It's Yoshiaki Koizumi.
Yoshiaki. I'm just going to go Yoshiaki.
Yeah, you can just say that.
I apologize, Yoshiaki-san.
No. But I probably have like the thickest accent saying it myself.
But yeah, Super Mario Galaxy 2, it's like, it basically just took more of what made Galaxy great and just go nuts with it. And it's also crazy to think, like, that's like one of the few Mario games. I mean, not few Mario games, but like when that game came out, like, I remember, like, it got perfect tens off the board. And it basically is like, to me, you can't have Galaxy without Galaxy 2. Cause they're so, to me, they're just so implemented to each other. And it's so much fun. And I don't want to go too much into it, because I eventually do want to talk about this game. Like, obviously, I will talk about this game in bigger detail, but I do kind of want to move on, because I do just, there's just a few more stuff I want to get before we kind of wrap it up here. But any thoughts on Super Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 before we move on here?
It would kind of be like playing 3D World and not playing 3D Land if you played Galaxy 1.
I can see that comparison. 2. I can see that comparison a bit.
I agree.
Not like crazy, but you can see it.
Yeah. What about you, Michael? Got any last thoughts before we move on here?
I remember Galaxy just being a really cool entry. I didn't get, at the time I was too busy and I didn't get a good chance to like play it hardcore, but I do remember loving it.
If y'all play a game, please play Galaxy. Like, I cannot stress enough. And eventually I will gush about my love for Galaxy in a lot more detail, but I do want to eventually move on, because there's basically, I want to briefly talk about the 3D games, the particularly Land and World, and how I feel like they kind of have aged very weird. Because I remember when they first came out, they were very well, like, people celebrated those games as very well-made games. And I remember really loving those games back in the day. Even though I am excited about the re-release of 3D Mario World for the Switch, after I beat those games, I had no desire to ever revisit them.
It was in a very awkward time for Nintendo.
I do. Yeah, because it was like during the Wii U era. And like, even though the 3DS eventually became a success, like, it did have a very rough launch. And yeah, it was in the very growing pains of Nintendo. And I feel like the linear design that Galaxy kind of introduced really went all in on Mario 3D Land and World. Especially, like, I feel like they were trying to, like, create more of, like, getting the 2D players. Because, again, the new Super Mario Brothers games were big hits at the time, like not just hits, like massive hits. Like, I think the DS sold like over 30 million copies, and I think the Wii version was just a little shy of that, which is fucking insane to think about.
For real.
Like, people forget, like, I don't think people like talk about, like, those games were fucking successes. Like, they were massive hits. I mean, granted, they were on consoles that were also massive hits on their own right, but still, like, I don't think the retro revival would be as big without those games.
I mean, they were kind of, you know, on the forefront of that. I think they kind of brought in a lot of, you know, people who had, you know, not really made the switch to 3D. They kind of brought them back.
Agreed. Yeah. I do, like, that kind of, like, just brings up, like, the new Super Mario Brothers games. I do think they have a good place in the series because they were kind of, like, bringing back the franchise in the forefront of, like, bringing back the classic 2D. And I'm not going to lie, I had fun with them. I had fun with the first one on the DS. The 3DS one was all right. The Wii one was okay. I really enjoyed, like, it. Yeah, four-player multiplayer was fun, but it was also a little chaotic. And Wii was, in my opinion, the best one. But at that point, it became like a Call of Duty because they released them almost every year at a point. Like, in 2012, we had two Super Mario Brothers games. We had New Super Mario Brothers 2 for the 3DS and New Super Mario Brothers Wii U that launched the Wii U. And I think that eventually what kind of killed that series for a bit was fatigue. Like, they really just try to roll with it as much as they could.
They get a little tired.
Basically. But, like, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't have a fondness with those games as much. I do think out of all of them, I think the Wii U one is the most interesting game, and I think it's the best one because some of the level design is very well done. And especially, like, the Luigi U DLC is very cool. And I do think eventually we will get another game in that franchise because even, like, the re-release of the Wii U version, like, already almost sold, like, over 10 million units, which is kind of crazy to think about because even on the Wii U, it sold, like, 5.5 or something like that. And it's already, like, outgrossed that. And it's just a re-release. Like, I do think eventually we will get another new Super Mario Brothers game. You guys got anything for the new Super Mario Brothers series before we kind of move on and kind of start wrapping this up?
Yeah, let me come back to 3D Land and World. The thing about those levels were it was a pretty much a perfect way to kind of just introduce you to this new idea. It would give you a simple task. It would let you figure it out, and then it started presenting more of a challenge. Every level was like that, and they always came up with this new idea for each level, a new theme, new whatever. And it was packed full of ideas.
I agree on that. Like, I definitely really do love 3D World, and especially 3D World with that aspect. And I do think that's why I'm kind of excited about the re-release, because it does give me another chance to replay it and kind of appreciate that, especially now that we do get Odyssey and things of that nature. You know,
yeah, if you want to, like, a perfect formula of just how do I introduce someone to a game and then present them with more challenge, just any level from that game. Yeah.
But anything else you guys got to want to add about the 3D World or 3D Land games here before we kind of start wrapping it up?
No.
All right. Well, in that case, then, let's kind of start wrapping it up by just kind of talking about the last game, Odyssey, which is, I feel like the return to form to Mario, even though Mario didn't kind of was necessarily fall, but there was definitely that weird growing period in the early 2010s that I feel like Nintendo didn't really know what to do with Mario. And Odyssey felt like an event.
It really felt like sort of that innovation that made 64 so memorable was kind of coming back.
Yes.
True.
I mean, again, like, it was the open world 3D games that we haven't got since Sunshine. And, oh, man, like, I don't want to get too much into it because I eventually do want to talk about Odyssey as well. But it's basically kind of like the best ideas of 64 and Sunshine, and even the level design of the Galaxy games and 3D World, all coming into one and really going nuts with a new power up that, honestly, for the first time in a while in a Mario game, actually felt justified and was a really cool mechanic. Cappy. And, oh, man.
Yeah, and I like Cappy as a character.
I love Cappy as a character in a power-up, and I even feel like that we don't even have, like, the full range of Galaxy, like, full range of what you can do with Cappy. And I pray to God we're getting Odyssey 2 one of these days.
It really shows Nintendo's willingness, even though typically they can be such a like conservative company in terms of their like culture, not like politically or anything like that, but just like with their company culture. But they took that idea in a way, it was sort of inspired by like the Kirby games, which is like not even necessarily entirely their property, right?
I mean, it is Nintendo's property. I mean, Sakurai's baby, but it is like Nintendo. I think it is still Nintendo, even though I do think HAL does have like a part of it, but it's still like, I think that it's kind of like, it's not like Pokemon where it's like the Pokemon company kind of has the, I don't know. It's weird.
I know. I mean, I've never seen HAL do anything not with Nintendo. So I can see how they're kind of dependent.
It's basically a divorced child. You know, sometimes they have company.
God damn it. Oh man. But no, I do agree. It takes the mechanics of like the Kirby the power-up abilities or like, becoming another character and taking their abilities, but kind of taking it to the next step with Mario.
And a more under platforming.
And oh my God, Mario controls in Odyssey is straight up like art. It is so good. Like you can just have fun just fucking around in the worlds. It's at the moveset that you have with Mario.
They really figured out how to, and I was surprised by this, like further polish the improvisation that's like inherent to these like 3D platformers, you know?
Yeah. I agree.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just saying I agree, but continue on, Natasha. My bad.
Just helping you guys.
Yeah. Just sound it out.
I'll one word at a time. I'm so sorry. All I would say is just that, like, you know, the ability to approach, you know, one problem, you know, seemingly a million different ways. You know, you can copy some power, you can do some kind of crazy combination of jumps. Like, I think that really invites the player to like think, you know, creatively and to really get engaged with what they're doing.
I agree.
There shouldn't be a one solution to a problem or a puzzle.
It reflects, you know, how we approach, you know, everyday problems in our lives, but, you know, in an interesting, fun Mario way.
Just jump around and shit.
Yeah, I mean, it brought back, like, the 64 and Sunshine. Like, there's not just one way to beat a level. Like, there's kind of multiple ways to do it. And that sense of wonder and that the series just hasn't had in a while, and it just brought it back in the forefront, and it did it really fucking well. That I'd be really pissed if we're not getting a sequel to Odyssey. I feel like we are because I do miss Cappy, and I think this would be kind of the perfect segue to kind of start ending the show and kind of like talking about like where do you want this franchise to go at this point? Like,
I still have one more thing on Odyssey. God, there's so many titles. The one smallest little gripe I have is just some of those lackluster moons.
Oh yeah.
If they expanded a little bit on some of those worlds, like the Dragon World or some of the smaller ones, and you know, they just moved some of those moons over to that, like it would have been even better. I mean, it's already amazing. I feel like I'm just nitpicking, really.
I mean, that's kind of like where kind of goes like what I want to see Mario go continues on. Like, I want them to continue what they were doing with Odyssey, but really start fleshing out some of those worlds, because that's one of my only big criticisms of the game. It's just the worlds outside of New Donk City, they were
a lot of open space.
Yeah.
A lot of open space, man.
Yeah, agreed. And it's just like, and there were cool ideas for worlds. I just don't think they were as fully fleshed out as they probably should have been. And especially like that fucking cock tease of that Dark Souls level that was just a boss level.
That could have been the Boo level.
Oh man. My God. It would have been so good. And also it's just like fan service up the wazoo, like especially at the end. Like that's where I just see the franchise I want them to do. I really want them to go nuts with Cappy. I think there's still so much you can do with Cappy and really just, you know, cut down the number of moons. We don't need over 900 moons. Give us a good 300. Yeah, give us a good 300.
You could give us a ridiculous amount of moons. Just don't give us the ones where it's like, oh, you found this one under your shoe.
Yeah, that's it. But what about the dumpster? What was that?
I was like, this moon is in the dumpster.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there is a moon in the dumpster that you find at one point. Like,
I would not doubt that at all.
I feel like there is. Like, honestly, I honestly feel like there is. Like, even replayed, I feel like there was something like that. But
Nintendo's over here being sneaky, and it's like, no, you're actually communicating something about the value of these items.
But what about you guys? Like, Michael, like, where do you kind of want to see the Mario franchise to go from Odyssey?
I like what they're doing with some of the Mario. Like, I like Mario Maker. I think that was a great idea, a really cool way to get a bunch of replay value out of the Mario franchise and idea.
Agreed.
But I'd like them to continue to try and, you know, push the boundaries of platformers because that's what Mario is known for. Yeah, I think Galaxy 64 and Super Mario World set standards for the respective systems and the games and, you know, all games at their time that Nintendo should continue to strive for.
That was really well put.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. And I think that's why we just love that franchise. And I think even you kind of summed up why this franchise has held so well even to this day is because each of their games pretty much define that generation of gaming, like for the most part. Like maybe not the Wii U era, but at least like 64, World, Super Mario Brothers 3, Galaxy, and even Odyssey. They redefine the term of platforming games and really push what platforming games can be. And I think if they just keep on doing that, I mean, Mario is probably going to outlive us all.
Hell yeah.
There's so many games, even more modern ones like Halo, you know, like that franchise is pretty much, you know, it's gotten kind of stale, right?
I mean,
you can look at other.
Pretty much. Like if Infinite's not like a big hit or like not the regenerated that series, I want it to be, but I don't know. But yeah, like how Halo like came out in 2001 and already like in 2020 feels like it's kind of almost a dead franchise.
I mean, that's the point I'm making. You can also make that point about like fucking Pong. You know what I mean? There are other historical games that have like huge impacts on like the history of gaming, right? But Mario is the one that has a 35-year consistent legacy. Yeah, not everything was fucking like the best of the best. But I mean, you know, everything we're talking about with like, oh, Sunshine's a little bit worse, et cetera, et cetera.
There's still great matters games.
Of like small.
Yeah, still created a lot for the future of its game.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah, like even like the worst Mario games are still better than some of the series' best games.
The worst Mario game is still better than some of the best Sonic games.
That's so fucking true. I will admit that. I will fucking admit that. Like that is so true. Like
Think about this. Like the second longest legacy of a game that I can think of off the top of my head is fucking World of Warcraft. And I mean, you know, Michael knows this very well. That game is basically dying.
Yeah.
And that's 15 years. Mario has them beat by 20 years.
Final Fantasy is probably pretty close at this point.
I feel like be like the second one that actually has legs. And then of course there's Metroid and Zelda. Like there's other franchises, but I think they do different things. I mean, I think Zelda is almost like Mario at this point where it's kind of like it redefines what it is. And that's why it adapts to modern gaming and redefines it, but also kind of creating what the next modern game trend is. And I think that's why Mario has survived as long as it has and probably will continue surviving for as long as it can.
it's because Mario went corporate. They started franchising. He's been partying, doing cocaine.
There's that one time.
Fucking work. But somehow he still brings out amazing games. What the fuck,
Mario? Yeah, Mario Kart, it's already like one of the biggest franchises out there. Like, and that's a sub-genre.
There's gotta be a hustle, some kind of side hustle going on.
There's gotta be
something to do with those damn mushrooms.
But I want to leave it off before we end it off on what's your favorite Mario game and give a brief discovery why, and then we'll close it out from there. Everyone knows mine. We kind of talk about it, but I would like to hear y'all's and kind of like a very brief description and why you would recommend those games.
Who should start?
Michael, if you want to start.
Okay. My favorite of all time is likely Mario 64. While Super Mario 3 brought me into the game series, 64 is the one that I remember having the strongest and most fond memories of, because it was just so innovative for the time. Like, any other 3D platformer that came out even remotely close to that, and some like 3D games that weren't like fighting games and things like that, were garbage. Like, 3D was so painful on PS1 even 64 in a lot of ways, but that game seemed to make it effortless. And the way that they packed it in to a established character that we already knew and we already loved, and made it so, made touchstones for platforming moving forward.
Yes.
It's something that I really respect, and that I will always hold that game in the highest esteem.
Agreed. What about you, Natasha?
I mean, I like to think about, the formative impact that games like, Super Mario World had on me, just in terms of like getting me to like really, I don't know, I think immersion for me, I know I've been talking about this all night, but it really is something that keeps me coming back to games in general. And, games like Super Mario World, even later games like Sunshine, and, the opportunities I got to play the newer games, like, I still get this sense of intense, like, immersion from Mario games, which, like, is one of my favorite things about gaming.
Yeah.
But, really, it still comes down to Mario 64 for me, because that game, like, I don't know, it was one of those things that, like, it was, like, what my life was about when I was playing it as a kid. Like, I lived for Mario 64. Like, that was the favorite part of my week every day when I got off of school. So
I lived and believed that game.
What's that?
I live and bleed that game.
Hell yeah, dude.
I have it tattooed as a tramp stamp, actually.
Dude, hell yeah. That's a tramp stamp I approve.
Cartridge in.
But
I'll let you figure that out.
But that's very well said, and I mean, both you and Michael like hit why I think 64 is probably a lot of people's favorite. And Dylan, what is your favorite, and like what like kind of is it 64? I have a feeling it might be 64.
I want to say 64, honestly. I do. I mean, there's a special place in my heart, in all of our hearts, honestly. Anybody that experienced it within their childhood, it would be just a landmark. But honestly, I'm gonna have to go with Odyssey.
Ooh.
Just because of how magical it was. These worlds were beautiful. They're full of exploration, full of options to go about it. And honestly, I just don't want to see Cappy to go away, because that was just an amazing mechanic.
No, I hope Cappy stays. I'm wearing Cappy as we speak right now. Like, I do like from our New York trip. But I agree. Like, I don't think it's a lot of people's like go to, but I can justify why Odyssey might be your favorite, because there's a lot that I do think Odyssey does well, and I will eventually talk about it when we do talk about Odyssey, like in a full first episode. But even like 64, it's hard not to like go with 64 because of the impact that game had. And even with me with Galaxy, because I feel that way for Galaxy too. But this, oh man, like these three games that we mentioned, I just love to death. And I can't wait to really, truly talk about them from the ground up one of these days. But I want to thank y'all again for doing this very long episode, just a little under 2 hours. I appreciate you sticking by me and really just letting me gush about this series that I really love so much. And I love to hear y'all's perspective from it as well. So it was really nice, and this was a very fun conversation and everything. So I do appreciate y'all doing this for me. And before we go, you want to plug anything before we start heading out here?
I, as you know from previous episodes with Troy, host a podcast about the band The Killers. It's called Soul of a Truck, a podcast about the band The Killers. Find us on Anchor. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at Soul of a Truck Pod. I host it with my buddy Spencer Polio.
And it's a good show. I highly recommend it here. And Natasha, Dylan, anything you guys want to plug before we wrap it up?
First I want to recommend all the listeners go ahead and check out Soul of a Truck podcast. It is pretty dope. As for me, my current occupation is a professional waste of space. So just, you know, you can find me in your nearest dumpster. Thank you very much.
This is true. What about you, Dylan? Anything you want to plug before we head out here?
Yeah, just a classic send-off message that I think we all really dearly miss. So long, Gabe Bowser.
Oh, man. Why beautiful words has never been spoken until we heard those phrases. Oh, my God. But thank you guys for everything here. And thank you for everybody who's listening to this episode. This was a lot of fun here. Again, you can follow the show on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, up and down and all around. You can email us at upanddownandaround@gmail.com or DM me through any of the social media websites. I do reply and all that stuff. And I do want to thank everyone again. This was a lot of fun. And before and after, I think Mario has a great future ahead of him, and hopefully we do too. As long as you are not a racist piece of shit, you wash your hands, wear a mask. Until the next time, everyone, be good to each other, and peace.
Thank you so much for playing my game.